Want to be right here or push it inside? All right, so let's pray for a moment for Pastor Joseph. So, dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to hear your word in your house today on Sunday morning worship. Please be with Joseph and bless his mind and speak through his lips and help us to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Very happy to see Michael to visit us and say like 10 years ago, right? You were with us. Time flew by fast. Just wonder, how are you today? Any Thanksgiving from yesterday prayer time? You guys have a prayer meeting yesterday. Looks like prayer service. How was the service yesterday? Any particular you feel be moved or touched you want to share, encourage us. We'll try to build a kingdom culture community. Start with a Thanksgiving. How was your week this past week? Are you with me? Did you sleep last night? Or are you still in meditation? Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And I felt very supported by my brothers and sisters. And I told a friend that I feel like all the gods heard about me because people of all different religions, they were going to pray for me. My boss even sprayed me with some sage when I was looking.
David, how is your right foot? We prayed for you last Sunday, right?
It's come along well, I guess. I'm learning to get around better than I used to.
Praise the Lord.
First week was disaster.
Getting better.
Come to church,
yeah. Very happy to see you. Yeah. Happy to see all of you. How about we stand to read the scripture for today? It's Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked out and saw a man in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" He replied, "As commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army replied, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we worship you with our whole being. We thank you for your salvation, your redemptive work, so we become children of God. We are free. We thank you for this place, the freedom we can worship you, we can listen to your word. May you speak to us today, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. You know, in life there are many challenges and difficulties. Sometimes very intense. You know, sometimes you have more challenge. I just, as I wait upon the Lord, I just feel this scripture we just read is very relevant and timely for this whole church. Also for many of us, if you face the challenge and difficulty, including myself. Well, we will learn this together about these scriptures. And first of all, we see the historical background, the context of this event. When was this? This was after, you know, they crossed the Jordan River. This was after the Lord won Joshua to really to enter the promised land, to take over the promised land. This was after the 40 years they were wandering in the wilderness. You guys know the story, right? In Moses' time, he sent 12 spies to spy the promised land. 10 give the bad report. Only 2 people who give the positive report. The 2 who had faith, right? They say, let's go and get the place. May I ask you, who are those 2 people's name? Yes. A few weeks back, I shared with you about by faith, not by sight. Today, this story we talk about, also, Joshua was in the very challenging stage of his life. Also, in the very crucial moment, they crossed the Jordan River. They have to attack Jericho. They have to start their first military campaign. Right at that juncture, this event happened. But in the chapter, Joshua chapter 5, we can see 5 instructive sections here. And each one is foundational to victory, to a spiritual victory. If we want to have a victory, we need to learn from this. The first one is the statement regarding the morale of the inhabitant of the land. Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Now when all the Amorite kings west of Jordan and all the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried out the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melt in fear, and they no longer had the courage to face Israelites. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever thought about that? You know, Chelsea, you just share about, you know, a lot of people pray for you from all kinds of religion. That's very nice for their heart. But Christians pray for you. And that before even your interview, look, according to Joshua chapter 5, verse 1, even before Joshua led the Israelites to attack Jericho, God already made those kings Canaanites, their heart melt. They have no courage. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Many of us face the mountain right now. I face many mountains. If by sight, our heart will melt. But it's so encouraging. No matter what kind of trouble you're facing right now, I not try to give you a positive message. I try to tell you the spiritual reality. Dear brother and sister, God care for you and me. Do you believe in that?
Yes.
So he will fight for you even before you fight. I feel that's so encouraging. That's the first lesson in the chapter 5. Secondly, there is the renewal of the right of circumcision as a sign of God's covenant with Abraham. Circumcision stood for Israel's faith in God's promises, thus including the land. God will give them the land. God promised to Abraham. There's a circumcision. How to say that?
Circumcision,
okay. The rite is a ritual. It's like a covenant between God and Israelites. Thirdly, we see here in chapter 5, observance of the Passover. How many of you know what does the Passover festival about? Remember, the Lord led them out of Egypt, right? The Lord spared them from the judging angels because they put the blood of the lamb on the door frame. Is that right? So the judging angels passed by them. So they were saved. But that also, the renewal, the observing the Passover also is a promise about they will enter the promised land because God led them out of Egypt to worship God in the land that he promised. Fourthly, is eating the produce of the land with the seizing of the manna. How many of you know what the manna was? God provided that for them in the wilderness for 40 years, right? It's daily provision. How many of you read the daily bread, that devotion thing? Scott, everybody knows you read. You know, when Israelites was in the wilderness, God provided food every day, have manna, except on the Sabbath day. But here in the Joshua chapter 5, you see, They start to eat the produce of the land. And no more has manna. That confirmed they already arrived at the place. They already start to eat the produce from that land. That shows they enter a new season. Our church entering a new season. This afternoon, I'm going to share with you a little bit. I cannot answer all your questions about the facility. The issue is not to buy this church facility. The issue is we to know what God leading us all these years. He providing us from place to place. We have been using 7 places. This is the, so far is the best one, this one. I'm going to share with you the journey, how God led us. You know, God loves his people. Do you believe that? Are you God's people? We're going to have the Holy Communion. This is the covenant between Jesus through his life to make covenant with you and me. We are children of God. Dear brothers and sisters, it's easy to doubt. Very easy. Remember, several weeks ago I shared with you, by faith, not by sight. I really appreciate Jesus told his disciple. He didn't say you have a giant faith. He said you just need to have a faith like a mustard seed size. Dear brother and sister, we need that right now. Amen? Whether it's your food, right food issue, or marriage, or whatever the issue you're facing, you need to believe God provide and God care for you. And that's what happened in today's incident. And the finally, in the chapter 5, is the final part of the chapter 5, is Joshua encounter with the commander of the army of the Lord. How many of you already knew this incident? You read this before. You're familiar with this story. How many times have you heard people preach on this scripture? I just wondered. Is this a very popular scripture or not really? Huh? In what kind of occasion usually people preach on this? Or just generally? Oh, graduation. Okay. Yep. Okay, now let's see this last session of the chapter 5. Joshua encountered with the commander of the army of the Lord. Let's see the Joshua condition. What was Joshua doing? He was out. He wasn't in the Israelites' camp. He was out nearby the city of Jericho. I believe he was observing, he was figuring out how can I attack this city? How can I take over them? I don't think it's easy, right? They came out of the wilderness. They just crossed the Jordan River. When they crossed the Jordan River, it wasn't their work. It wasn't by boat or swimming. It's the Lord who divide the river, right? Now Joshua had to figure out a plan. How to attack, how to take over. I don't think it's easy. Right? So if you were Joshua, how do you feel? Nervous. I like that word. Actually, it's fearful. Uncertain about future. None of us like the uncertainty about future, right? How many of you enjoy that? Do you know? The reason we are by sight, because we won't be certain about what will happen, is a very uncomfortable feeling when you don't know what's the next step. Agree? How about there are many things in your life is uncertain? You feel very nervous. I think that Luke gave a very good description about Joshua. He was very nervous. I believe he had faith. He was fearful. I believe he was overwhelmed with the task. How can I? The Jericho will be the first project. The Jericho was the most fortified city in the whole promised land, Canaan. It's very difficult. And suddenly he saw a man. Verse 13a, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with the drawn sword in his hand. This man didn't come for peace. He was a warrior. He pulled out his sword. If you were Joshua, how do you feel? Very alert. Is this the same person from the Jericho city like me come out to scout who were attacking? Standing with weapon drawn in a military position of one who either is stand guard or stand ready to against. So he was ready. This man, Joshua saw, was ready to fight. Amen? Are you okay? Are you ready to fight for your destiny? Huh? I like this man. You are nervous? How about Scott? Are you ready to fight for your destiny? You read the Daily Bread. Wow, I'm not big umbrella. I'm very small umbrella. Yeah, I need a big umbrella of the Lord. So he came as a position for fighting. But Joshua wasn't too sure whether he's a friend or enemy. So verse 14 tells us this man came as a commander of the army of the Lord. If we base upon Joshua's interaction with this man, verse 14b and 15, this was, they called it theophany. Or better, based upon truth of John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, is a pre-incarnate Christ manifest himself. Actually, this was Jesus himself. The commander came. Before Jesus came to this world in his glorious condition, he manifests himself. Then we look at a conversation between Joshua and the man. Joshua asked, went out to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" This was a natural response, right? He was nervous. He wanted to make sure. What's your position? Where you stand for? But we look at the answer from this man. Joshua's question revealed a typical mindset that hinders our effectiveness in serving the Lord. Maybe you ask, what is that mindset? We tend to see the battle we face as our battle. If we will purchase this building, it's our battle. You say, Pastor Joseph, it's not our battle, it's your battle. No, it's not my battle. It's not my battle. You hear this like funny, but you know, the reason I feel this scripture I share with you, I feel this scripture is so relevant to our church, so relevant to me, maybe so relevant to many of you. Maybe you're facing the project or facing the situation very challenging, very heavy to you. You feel you're overwhelmed. You feel very heavy burden. So when God appeared to you, you ask him, are you for me or for my enemy? The man answered, neither. So disappointed. You're not for me. Thank God you're not for my enemy either. At least you're neutral. Is that right? Neither. Then what did he say? I come as the commander of the army of the Lord. What does that mean? He comes, doesn't take sides. He doesn't come to help Joshua. He doesn't come against Joshua either. He comes to lead the army of the Lord. Was Joshua also is a general of the army of the Lord? Israelites, right? But this is the higher rank. It's very interesting, Joshua responded. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asking, "What message does my Lord have for his servant?" Joshua recognized this was the Lord. Joshua has a very sensitive spirit, alert spirit. When we are in the difficult situation, desperate, sometimes our spirit becomes very dull. We are so conscientious about the circumstance, about what people say, about the financial situation. Amen? About physical condition. We then realize this is the Lord. The Lord appeared to Joshua, so he faced down and asked the Lord, "What shall I do?" And Joshua quickly saw his blindness. He has been thinking of all these conflicts between the Israelites and the Canaanites army. He had been thinking of this is his war, his project, his burden. That's why he feels the responsibility on his shoulder. Then at that moment, he had heard Moses. The memory came back. He remembered Moses say on the bank of the Red Sea that day when they were chased by the Egyptian army, the Lord said, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Isn't that wonderful? When you're facing the project, facing the difficulty, the Lord say, "You're just being still, and I will fight for you." The natural response is, "How can you fight for me? What way you will fight for me?" Are you okay with me? I think when we are facing challenge, the last thing we can do is being still. Right? We cannot be still. Joshua continued to think about the plan, how to attack Jericho. Maybe you think about a lot of things right now. You think, how can you overcome? How can you do this? But the Lord said, "Be still. I will fight for you." This is not easy because we have experienced so much in life, right? That's why I say, Jesus said, "Let the children come to me. Don't forbid them. Unless you return like a child, have a childlike faith, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Jesus didn't say being childish. He said have a childlike faith. May I ask you, what is childlike faith? Many of you teach the children class. What's the traits of children? The positive traits. They have a very simple faith, right? Whatever you tell them, they will follow. They are happy. They're easy to be happy. I remember when Christina and JJ still in those 7, 8, 10 years old time, we brought them to Monterey. Outside there's a beach. Two of them, they can play on the beach for 1 hour. Just play with the wave and the tide come up. And they just do that. Whoa. And they can continue to play that. Very simple. May the Lord help us this morning. Help all of us that believe our Heavenly Father will fight for you and me for whatever the situation you are in. Amen. May the Heavenly Father give us childlike faith. That's called humility. We're willing to wait, willing to listen, willing even to give out the right to complain. That's why I'm learning right now. I learned to give out the right to complain. Sometimes you have to learn to give up the right to be sad, to be mad. You say, "This is not fair." May I ask you, what is fair in the life? Can someone tell me? Don't we see a lot of things unfair happen in the world at this moment right now? There's a lot of evil, injustice. So we easy to be so angry. It's unfair. Joshua not just face down, submit himself to this commander. He also asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? Then the commander answered, remove your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. May I ask you, is that place just a regular place? Right? They just met there, outside the city of Jericho. Why that place become holy? Because the Lord was there. Because the Lord stood there, the Lord gave him instruction. The Lord asked him to remove the sandal. That means he need to obey, submit as a servant, and listen to the instruction. Listen to understand. This is the commander. He can not to help him. He can to lead the whole army to fight in his way. That's not easy, right? That's not just the holy ground. That's the holy encounter. That's the holy instruction. The reason is holy is set apart for the Lord. Amen? Amen? Does that remind you about Moses' experience before he came out to lead the Israelites? He met God. God told him the same thing. Moses, this is the holy ground. Take off your sandals. Our feet walk every day. Refer to our life. We need to reserve our life for the Lord. This is the holy ground because he met the Lord. So what are the lessons? The lesson number one. Jesus doesn't come to rescue us according to our desire, but come to lead the army of God in his direction. I think this lesson has two principles. The first principle, it is not for us to claim God's allegiance for our cause, no matter how right or holy it might be. In other words, we cannot ask God to help to accomplish our cause. Rather, we need to submit to God's cause. Amen? We maybe face a different situation right now, the challenge. You cannot continue to ask the Lord to rescue you. You and I, we need to examine our life to surrender ourselves to the Lord. Maybe the area we need to adjust, we need to repent, need to change. Amen? Second principle from Jesus doesn't come to rescue us according to our desire, but come to lead the army of God in his direction is, as he comes to being charged, so he will bring his personal presence and the powerful provision. When God comes to be in charge, he comes to lead, he will be with you and me. If he is with you, he will care for you. Amen? How many of you sense God care for you in this past week or past month? How many of you? In which way? In the very practical way, right? So when God is leading, he is with you. He will take care of you. Also, because his presence, also he will have the powerful provision for you. Amen? He will provide all your needs because he is in charge. Lesson number two. Our job is to submit ourselves to Jesus Christ's leading. Joshua's job was not figuring out the strategy, developing the plan to take over the city of Jericho. His job was submitting himself to the commander's leading instruction. I think that also true for us. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. I'd like to read to you. Maybe, Patrick, can you post for us? Yeah, over there, okay. Proverbs chapter, sorry, it's not 3 to 5. Did I give you the, sorry, it's a 5 to 6. Okay, I will read. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. I think the challenge for us is we trust the Lord, trust in the Lord, not with all our heart. When the thing doesn't go our way, we start to use our understanding to figure out. Is that right? That's where the doubts come in. Okay, the lesson number 3. If we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ leading, we will recognize the battle is his, not ours. And he will fight for his battle. And we are his soldier servant who are already won. I believe Joshua was struggling, trying to figure out a way how to really take over the city of Jericho all these times. But after Joshua followed the commander, took out the sandal, he submit himself to the Lord. Then let's read Joshua chapter 6. The Lord really gave him instruction how to take over the city. But the Lord's instruction is very different from what he thought, right? Can we read that together? This is very important, dear brothers and sisters. This is the home run. This is the one will give us the faith to see God's way is higher than our way. God's thought is higher than our thought. Let's read this together. Let's all read it. Now Jericho was tightly shut up. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city, once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpet or ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times, with the priests blowing the trumpet. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpet, all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man straight in." Have you read any strategy like this to take a city? Take the most fortified city in the promised land. So apply it to our life. If you and me, like Joshua, we submit to the commander of the Lord of army, and we listen to him. Will he show you the way to tackle the problem you're facing? Now everybody's nervous now. Nobody answered me, yeah, no. I don't know about this part. Well, that's the step of faith, dear brothers and sisters. Step of faith is taking risk. But I want to warn you, there are greater risk if you don't step out by faith. Even greater risk. Do you think it's risky for Joshua to follow what God instructed him? The priests ahead of the ark, and they go around the city once, second day, third day, 7th day, they go around the city 7 times. And they shout. There's a risk after they shout. Nothing happened. May I ask you, if you were the soldier on the wall from Jericho City, what do you see? So what will be in your mind? What are they doing there? But Joshua sent a spy into the city, you know. They found out the whole city was very nervous. Their heart melted. They have no energy to fight. So they're already in the very panic situation. And now suddenly see all the Israelites. They have a priest ahead of their ark. They have trumpet and they just walk around. 2 times. three times. In 7 days, seven times. And they all shout. How about let's shout right now? Do you want to shout? So that your Jericho city will collapse. You can shout in your heart. But think about my point. Why don't you shout first and people will follow you? How about let's all shout? What kind of shout we should have? Hallelujah. How about say hallelujah? Think about your Jericho city right now. The challenge you're right facing bug you. And we shout hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. How about let's say 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah! I think Israelites, they have more people louder than this. And the Bible says, the city, the wall of the city of Jericho collapsed. And all the Israelites went in, captured the whole city. Hallelujah. If we really agree, recognize, live according Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life, we can be nervous-free and worry-free. But we all need to step out the first step by faith. Okay, I know this is not easy to hear. Let's pray. Lord, you promised to everyone who hear this, say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. As we come to this table, the Holy Communion, Lord, we want to have true rest in you. Amen? True rest in you. Lord, we want to surrender to you. You are not just our Savior, you are our Lord. Lord, we thank you for this bread and cup. Refer to your sacrifice for us. Refer to your body be broken for us, your blood being shed for each one of us, so we can be called children of God. So we have eternal hope and life. Thank you, Lord. May you continue to speak to us through today's scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we have the children to join us? We'll join the Holy Communion. First Sunday of each month, we have the Holy Communion in remembrance of Christ's death for each one of us. I'd like to invite those who have received Jesus as Savior and the Lord, have been baptized, to come forward to take the bread and cup. As you return, you stand at your wherever you are at and give thanks for the bread and cup. Also, ask the Lord to cleanse our sins. Well, let's start from the last row. Please come forward. just as Joshua faced down, submit himself unto you. We right now come to you, your presence, Lord. We submit ourselves to you. Oh, you are the Lord, you are the commander. You are not our servant. We are your servant. Amen. We are at your service, Lord. May you come, Lord. You love each one of us so much. You not just save us, you also want us free. But this morning we come to you. Lord, our job is to surrender ourselves to you and follow your instruction. But Lord, you know that's almost, this requirement almost like a mountain. Many times we cannot do that. We're so consumed and concerned about our circumstance, about the challenge we are facing. I just pray right now, Lord, may you give us grace. We can be free from that. We can take off our sandals, willing to be as a servant at your service. Because this is the holy ground. This is the place we meet God. With your bread and your cup, we're going to take and remind us who we are. We are your children. We are your army. We are your servants. Lord, may you speak to us when each one of us wait upon you. When we give thanks to you, when we ask you for forgiveness to cleanse us, may you speak to us. What are some areas we really need to surrender to you right now, to let go, so we can be free from worry, anxiety, and burden? Help us, Lord. Show mercy to us. Show grace to us. Set us free. Set us free. Open our eyes to see. Remove the veil. It's not a task. It's not a mountain. It's our perspective. Grant us the right perspective right now. Holy Spirit, may you come. Lord, give us the grace of humility and brokenness. Give us the humility and the grace that we admit we need you. Grant us the grace we ask for your help. But we all pray to the Lord right now. In whatever area you need the Lord, you ask the Lord to help you right now. Jesus, we need you. Come to our life. We surrender ourselves to you. Start with our emotion, our mind, our airy plan. Come to lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come crowd worship you and God bless you.